This episode of Inside the Architect and Designer Awards is sponsored by Design in Detail. For more than 15 years, Design in Detail has been the go-to resource for designers, offering an exclusive array of furniture, fabric, wall covering, lighting, and carpet. At the showroom in Maplewood, every corner is filled with inspiration. Design in Detail's commitment to excellence means they only carry the very best vendors in the industry, ensuring that every piece in the collection sparks your creativity. Whether you're designing a cozy corner or an entire room, let Design in Detail be your starting point. Visit designindetailstl.com to get started today. Welcome to Inside the Architect and Designer Awards mini-series. I'm here today with Rebecca Moore Murphy. Rebecca won for Traditional Kitchen, greater than 300 square feet, and I'm so excited to talk to you about this space.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the Traditional Kitchen project that you submitted and that you won for. What were you hoping to highlight in this particular space?
I call it the Grand Kitchen, and it was really fun to design because it's for a showroom, actually, and I wanted the showroom to feel like a home and not like a showroom, which is actually a tall order task, because all the rooms in the showroom bleed into one another. It's an open space, and instead of feeling like a retail, you know, a bunch of different vignettes, how to have the space hug you as you're walking through the spaces. So I kind of did a bold move with that big 24 by 24 black and white tile, which everybody thinks is marble, but it's not.
Okay, I thought it was too. So what is it?
It's porcelain tile. Oh, okay. Yes, big secret there. So that is rooted in historic design. So that's the foundational layer of the whole kitchen. And I think it's just gorgeous and yummy. And then it, you know, the space needed a white kitchen because white kitchens aren't going anywhere. They've been here for a long time and they're going to be here for a long time. But how to design a white kitchen that isn't another ubiquitous white kitchen. It's something that hugs you. It's something rooted in history, but it's also something that pushes boundaries. So I did a three-tone kitchen with natural walnut, high gloss black mullion glass doors, sitting within white matte inset cabinetry. And there's a 60-inch La Cornue black and brass range with a black and brass hood. Yes, just really yummy at every detail and turn you take in the kitchen.
And so who did you have in mind when you were designing this kitchen?
So because I wasn't designing for a retail point of view, retail's more trying to appeal to the masses. It was more of an approach of here is our brand, and if this appeals to you, you fit our brand and we're going to be a good fit. And if it doesn't, there are many other choices for you that will fit you well. So in terms of who was I designing for, it was the Stonehall brand itself, rooted in history, rooted in classic design, timeless, but also for people that are committed to wanting their spaces to feel like fine art. Mm-hmm. And it's not repetitive, and it's not what you would see in the neighbor's home, even if we both had a Stonehall remodel. Right. So it's really the design, not the cabinets. It's how the design of each cabinet and the moldings and the modifications and the nomenclature and how that all brings it together to make a unique fine piece of art. And so I was designing for the people that want that. And I think there's a large, maybe not a large, but a certain dynamic in St. Louis feeling like that was a hole that wasn't a good offering in St. Louis, and they might go to Chicago or New York to find that. And I was hoping to give them that avenue in St. Louis.
That's great. And so then how do you stay up to date on kitchen design in particular? Like, where are you looking? How are you inspired?
I love that question. Travel is by far at the top of the list. Europe, everywhere you turn in France and Holland and the Netherlands and, you know, Spain and anywhere in Europe. I feel like even if I'm in a coffee shop, I'm noticing tiles, I'm seeing different ways to approach design, whether it was done hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but it's still standing and just looks amazing, or the scale is different, or the lights are hung lower. Everything is done different over there. And it's so fun to take all of that into your texture and your fabric of who you are and come back home and reflect on it. And I take tons of pictures and I look through them and bring them into design, and they help convince homeowners to give them the confidence with those pictures that, hey, let's try this different way of doing things.
Yeah.
And then just walks in nature. Nature is some of the most pure design out there. And the oxygen you get when you're out just breathing and in by yourself on a walk and taking in reflection and letting your mind wander, it's amazing how the creativity stems from that when you come back and sit down and look at your designs again. And also just old-fashioned research of hardcover books, and Instagram, of course, is the place to be. And Pinterest isn't going anywhere either. So I would say those are the best. And always over a cup of coffee. I'm a coffee addict, and it helps me be a better designer. So
I hear you. Coffee helps me become a better writer.
Yes, exactly.
You. Now, you mix metals a lot.
Yes.
Obviously, in this kitchen. Tell me a little bit about that.
Mixing metals is a pretty bold thing to do, and I'd say I hadn't done that until the showroom was put together, because it was just, it's not something you see often. It's expensive. It's hard to talk people into doing it. So I actually did a lot of research with the Christopher Peacock brand.
Yeah.
He does that a lot, and worked really closely with Tom Tice at Tice Plating, who did all the brass and metal work you see in there. So Tom would just give me ideas of where we could do brass and how we could do it. And I would ask him, you know, be a salesperson. Tell me where and what you can do for me here. So we worked really closely together on it. And adding all those brass and mixing all those metals is actually really complex and very hard to do. And it took a lot of work and a lot of adjustments. But kind of just showing clients all the possibilities of ways you can do it. So in this kitchen, if you look closely at the toe kick, all the toe kick is actually polished nickel within the toe kick.
Okay.
On the recessed side of the perimeter of the kitchen. And then he even did the vent cutouts in that metal, which is really neat.
Really cool.
Yes. And then in the perimeter of the inset cabinets, he did the polished nickel inlays, which are just...
It's so beautiful.
It's so breathtaking. I know. It is. And so I see a lot more clients wanting to do it on their bars.
Okay.
I do a lot of metal in kitchens, but not to that degree. We kind of maybe put it on the fridge cabinet or a larder cabinet or something. I haven't done like a whole kitchen of metal, which I'd love to do. And I actually just finished a kitchen that feels like you're in New York, like a Ralph Lauren kitchen that I can't wait for you to see when I get it photographed. Yeah. But it's a lot of like really bold brass metal on the black cabinets. It's a super fashion-forward kitchen. Yes. Yeah, so, and Tom helped me with all of that.
And how are you using marble? I know some people are skittish about using marble on their tops. What's your feeling about that?
Definitely using marble. It's interesting when you go to Europe, marble's everywhere on the cafe tables, the bistro tables, and you see all that etching in the scratches because it's so porous. And when you're in Europe, you think how charming. And then it's funny because a client will get it in their home and go, this is awful. I hate this. So it's a lot of warning clients on the front end. And you really just have two sets of clients, the client that will embrace it and love it and be okay with that. And the client that says, you know what? I love it, but it's not for me. That'll just drive me crazy. So I've used a lot of marble and will continue to do so. You just have to be aware of the charming aging to it, kind of like a human's face gets wrinkles and age spots, and they're still beautiful,
yes,
but they age.
And I love the icebox design on the refrigerator. Is that a trend? Is that something that's become more of a classic? You've used that, but then the kitchen is also super refined and sophisticated. So there's another instance where you're kind of combining aesthetics.
Yeah. So the, I would say the icebox is not a trend because it's actually an, if you think about what an icebox is from the vocabulary term, it goes all the way back to being a fridge before fridges existed. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's not a trend in that it's historic. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a trend in that it's resurfacing and in a strong way, and maybe it'll be like a wave and then it comes forward and then shifts back. But I think because it's historic, it's not something that should fade with time and feel like the fashion will go away because it's rooted in history. So the way it looks is like it's functioning, but actually when you open it up, they're just faux handles. They don't function.
Okay.
Correct. So it's all just for the aesthetic of the historic look, but it functions just as if there was a set handle there and you just have to pull really hard to get it open. Okay, to open. Cool. Yes.
And how about in terms of prioritizing budgets in a kitchen? Where do you think homeowners would get the most bang for their buck?
It's a really good question. I think so much of the beauty is in the design that if you spend on your design, you can pull back in certain areas on product cost, because let's say you pull back on design and you spend all the money there is on product, it can fall flat because it wasn't a good design. So you've spent a ton of money and it doesn't look that expensive because of the way it was brought together. If you spend money on the front end of really smart design, there are ways where you can pull back on less expensive materials with a good designer's eye and experience that can guide you in a way where those materials can look expensive, but they're not, such as that floor is actually not expensive.
Because it's actually a larger tile, right?
It's a larger tile. It's a porcelain tile, and it's actually very affordable, but it looks very expensive.
It sure does.
Yes.
It sure does. I also really love the butler's pantry that you've introduced into this design. Tell us a little bit about the design of this space and how often you're getting requests like this for a larder, I guess is the
Yes. I love that you asked me about that because it's my favorite cabinet in that showroom. That larder cabinet is actually only about a foot deep, which is that's the depth of a wall cabinet in anyone's kitchen.
Oh, okay.
So it's a powerhouse cabinet because with outlets on that countertop, you can put a toaster, a blender, and all those little appliances that people aren't wanting to sit out on a counter in a kitchen. So it's a powerhouse in terms of function. It's also just so beautiful when you open those doors, what you're seeing. You see caning drawer heads. You see inlaid text. You see little cutouts as the handles. I mean, that's not stuff you ever really come across, and it's hidden behind these beautiful walnut big doors with cremone bolts, and it's just literally jaw-dropping when those doors open what people say. And with the shiplap back of the cabinet and the shelving, it's very a plain English look, which again is rooted in history and European cabinetry. And then the spice shelf racks on the doors, it's just, I wish I could pick that cabinet up and put it in my home.
Likewise.
Yes.
Likewise.
Yes. So yes, it's very popular and everybody wants one. It's just, what does the layout lend itself to? And a lot of people can actually do a walk-in pantry instead of this, but if you don't have the space, this is giving you that sort of wow factor without having that walk-in space available.
And what would you say was your biggest challenge on this particular project?
Hands down, being pregnant while I was designing it, then giving birth. And while in the hospital giving birth, working on these plans
Rebecca.
It had to keep moving forward. And then having a newborn and having to keep moving forward and having to balance client work and all of this. And thank God for my mother, because she helped me keep going and not just quit. So the design work is always you know, digestible for me and I can do it. But becoming a mother to my firstborn through that process was the hardest part, but very worth it.
Yes.
Yes. Oh,
it is always so difficult, yes. Right?
Yes.
Balancing the two.
Yes. Before my first baby, that was my baby.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes.
And then I had a real baby and then it was, let's juggle them both. So.
So I want to ask you a couple of questions about design, and then you tell me if you think you're still seeing that in your work. Two sinks in one kitchen.
Oh, absolutely. All the time. Yes.
Islands.
Yes. Everybody wants an island. Not every design lends itself to that. So is a really experienced designer, how can you achieve that maybe with the peninsula or mm-hmm. other means when the layout doesn't lend itself to an island, but you're always trying to get an island these days, unless it's like a galley, which I think galleys are very charming. And that's actually personally what I have in my house.
It's what I have in my house.
Fun.
Yes.
I love galleys. I think they're beautiful.
I do too.
Yeah.
I mean,
it works for me.
It
and
does.
It's actually a lovely triangle.
It is. Yes.
It's not too far. It's not too close.
And two of you can work in the kitchen at
exactly.
the same time. Really?
Exactly.
Like it's worked
yes.
for us. And how about the La Cornue range? Obviously, it's very high end, top of the line. Obviously, not everyone can afford to have a piece like that in their kitchen, but can you get a similar look with other models?
La Cornues are, what I love about them is that they're not for the technologically advanced or dedicated. They're much more just rooted in, they do what they do. They've been doing what they've been doing for a long time, and they are good at it. They're just solid gas ranges that look beautiful, just like jewelry, and you know the kind of jewelry you see a woman wearing and you're like, wow, that's a gorgeous vintage piece. And yes. that's what they look like in the kitchen. I had a client that was thinking about the Wolf range versus the La Cornue, and if you get the 30 inch or the 36 inch, which is in the La Cornue European size would be the 42 inch, they're comparable in price. It's when you jump up to the size that's in this kitchen where they just get super, super expensive and past the Wolf pricing. So they're still affordable if you get the smaller version. Mm-hmm. And some of the reservations about them are, well, the oven cavities seem smaller than American oven
yes.
cavities. However, having used it in the showroom and having client feedback, they always say they, even though they look smaller, functionally, they've never not worked for what they were trying to do with a turkey or things like that. So I've never heard somebody say, I regret it because it's not big enough. Right. In terms of getting something that's less expensive than the Wolf price point, I'm sure there are options like GE Monogram, or I think that they have come out with some fun colored stuff. But people that are committed to that La Cornue look when they go shop, they think, just to save a little bit, we might as well either wait to afford the La Cornue or let's just do it correctly and get the La Cornue. I actually haven't had somebody go, let's do the cost savings approach.
Got it. And what are your tips for selecting pendants over an island? I feel like that's a really hard thing to get right.
It is. It's very, very hard. I'm thankful for my sister because I helped train her in this industry. And she surpassed me in 3D design. She's very good at our 3D design programs, and I am not. I need to dedicate more time on that front. But what she helps me with is rendering certain lighting that I'm looking at, because you can like lights and then put them in the space visually and go, I don't like it there. It doesn't fit there, or the scale's not right. So the visual, and we hear clients say this over and over, I can't visualize. Well, sometimes we need help visualizing, and she helps me in the 3D aspect of putting it in the program. And we'll take different lights where we can actually put the exact light in the space that she's created. And she and I look at them together and say, it's almost like trying on different outfits and you have your sister there saying, that one fits good on the shoulders, but not on the waist.
Yeah.
And we look at all of them and say, okay, this one has the most pros to it. So it's trial and error.
And you have been a winner for the Architect and Designer Awards going back several years. What is your advice for designers who are interested in submitting a project to the competition?
I would say it might feel, if you haven't submitted or you haven't won yet, maybe it's too hard for you or you're not good enough. And that's not the case. I was actually just telling somebody I'm helping mentor that Woody Allen, I don't know if you know, he's a director, and yeah, he never goes to the Academy Awards because he says when he works on films, he considers them art. And so it's very subjective. Mm-hmm. And for people to judge art, well, who are they to judge the art? And who is he to judge the art? So he doesn't go because he thinks they're kind of, I don't know, maybe too subjective to give somebody an award. That being said, it's fun. It's fun to go. Put in your work. Go meet people. If you win, it's great, but it's also subjective as to who's the best and who's not. It's an honor for sure, but keep trying. Put them in. I've lost a lot. I've lost more than I've won, even though it seems like to people I've won so much. It's because I don't allow myself to get knocked down and stay knocked down. I keep getting up and keep going back again. So just keep going at it. And if it's your passion, have fun with it. If you're having fun, keep trying.
That's great advice.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Inside the Architect and Designer Awards, sponsored by Design in Detail. Visit designindetailstl.com.